Joined out here at Specs by a very distinguished winemaker.
Sommelier.
And good friend of the show for all these years, the great Barry Switzer with us.
Yeah, Mike Reimer. I'm amazed you've lasted this long.
I'm amazed. I have too, Coach.
Tell you what.
I don't have long left, Coach.
You know what? You guys, you got on my ass about how much I swear words I said. You guys have become shock jocks.
Come on.
You are the most, he does the most.
It's all him.
Mike, you are.
No.
Your mom and dad listen to you. Obviously, you have no parenting.
Don't even say that. You're going to get my mom and dad up my ass.
Oh, I'm terrible. You're terrible, girl.
He is terrible.
I am not.
He is, too.
What was I doing? What shocked you?
I call him abrasive and over the top, and he is.
No, I'm not. I'm just a general
Big
broadcaster.
Dick Corby Davidson. I know you. Don't give me any of that crap. You play with people. I'm over at work and signed 100. I sign more wine bottles than I do football bottles. I'm over here doing 100 bottles of wine, and you over here, I'm turning around looking. That's not the guys I remember. You're going to run Mike off. Hell, they run Greg off. They're going to get you next.
You're right. He is going to run me off.
That's right. Yeah, you just
going to run my ass flat out of here.
Yeah, you're just going to quit. It's good to see you guys.
Well, it's good to see you too, man. How's the wine thing going?
Hey, I tell you what, my son-in-law, Hunter, got me in this deal. I really, we go out to Napa. Well, first of all, I started drinking wine, Corby, Mike, years ago. I had an old Italian immigrant friend named Pasquale Benzo. He's from Mola di Bari, Italy. Been to Italy several times with him. Lives in a little fishing village south of Mola di Bari. And all they do is, like going over with him, it's like going to food camp. All you do is drink and eat. And you don't eat until 10:30 at night, but you drink a hell of a lot between. And it's great food, great wine. And one night he told me, I was drinking my J&B, which never let me down. And he said, Coach, you need to quit the hard stuff. You need to start drinking the red wine. And, of course, he's drawing off his cigarette. But he eats good, the Mediterranean diet and wine. So next thing I know is that I'm drinking wine, and I've been doing it for the last 30 years. I think my kidneys and liver say thank you every day. But a few years ago, we went to Napa Valley. We got out there with flew into Yountville. We traveled around, and next thing my son-in-law says to me, he says, let's get in the wine business. I said, Patsy's said a lot of great things to me through the years. Pasquale Benzo, he's my philosopher. He can't read English. He can't write. He's just a jump ship in Brooklyn in 1949, And he says to me a lot of times, hey, Coach, you have no business being in the business if you don't know the business. So that's what I tell Hunter. We don't have no business being in the wine business. He said, I'll learn it. So I let him go learn it. So what's happened is we started, he got to know Andrew Hoxie out in Napa Wine Company. It's the fourth generation guy, and he's got 900 acres in Oakville, Napa Valley, right in the sweet spot, and we signed a long-term contract, and we're doing 600 cases now, and hopefully we'll go to 1,500 in the next couple of years. But we've got a long-term contract with him, and it's a legacy. It's for my grandkids and all, because, I was told by Pasquale, too. They said, he also said this to me, you be good to your kids, because you know why? I said, why, Patsy? And he says, because they pick your nursing home. So maybe they'll pick me a good nursing home. I leave them a legacy like this Switzer Family Vineyards wine. They do well with it. How about that?
That's pretty awesome, man.
Can you imagine 30 years ago is you're in some kid's house that recruiting them that someday you'd be in the wine business?
Well, I wouldn't be talking about what we're talking about here today or said the things we said. I'd be talking about something else. You got to play the game. You got to be a hypocrite sometimes. But you can do that, and I did it and did it pretty well. I never thought of it. I was thinking about coming down here today that I did something out at the ballpark with Republican National Distributors. They're the R&D that does handles our wine here in the Dallas area, and they had actually handled it in Oklahoma. And they were flashing on the scoreboard out there. God, it's a great facility out there in Frisco. Is that the baseball park, the AA park?
Yeah.
God, it's a beautiful
yeah,
park.
Yeah, it's cool.
You know, Daryl Royal was right. He says, you know, he told his recruits when they'd go to Oklahoma, he says, when you cross that Red River going north, you know, the road's getting there, and you'll notice things don't look as good anymore. You know, I'm coming south, cross that Red River. My God, he's right. Things do look good down here. The roads are wider, buildings are bigger, they're cleaner, they're nicer, more money spent on facilities. You know, I got to look at that thing today, and they were flashing up. They were doing a picture video of welcoming all the R and Republic National Distributors Company people there, and they were flashing up there, and it said something about some guy was giving him so much problem that with his business that colonoscopy wasn't as intrusive and as this guy was, and all of a sudden I thought, you know, 1994 March 28th I had a colonoscopy. Now why would I remember that date, Mike? Did you have colonoscopies?
Oh, yeah.
What was
yeah.
the date?
Okay, March 28th. Because that's the day Jerry Jones called me. I don't know if I want to coach the Cowboys. That's before he fired him. I said, well, the job's not open, Jerry. I said, why would I want the job? The job is not open. He said, if the job was, would you want to coach the Cowboys? And I said, call me back when the job's open. And that was March 28th.
The same 28th. Day you had
same
a camera up your rear. You
yeah,
had, you
that's
had
right. If everybody wanted to know if there's any correlation, I said, no, not at all. I said, Jerry was great to me, and he was. He was a super guy. And
so did you tell him yes before or after the colonoscopy?
Well, I couldn't. The drugs were so good that morning, I told him I wanted to sleep it off. I says, hey, that stuff they give you, that's the best stuff you can ever have, Corby. It's better than what you probably have. That brings us to the Levon Helm story.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So we're talking about Levon Helm. Levon Helm is what sounds like his last few days of cancer.
Levon Helm yeah. of the band, of course.
Right,
yeah.
The band.
Great
Lee
drummer
band.
Of the band.
And he's from Arkansas.
Right.
You know him.
Springdale. Well, it's where I knew him. The reason I knew him, one of our football players I played with at Arkansas was named Donnie Stone, played for the Denver Broncos in the 1960s and probably one of the first starting halfbacks they had. And the guy that we ran around with and used to come to the jock dorm all the time was a guy named Ronnie Hawkins. And he had Ronnie Hawkins and the Hawks.
The Hawks.
He's big in Toronto. He's yeah. big in the Canada
sure.
and all that. Well, I happened to be in 1990. It was after I'd got out of coaching at Oklahoma, so I'm spending some time. I did a little stuff abroad. I'm actually at Knightsbridge over around the street from Harrah's in London. I'm over there with a girlfriend. And you remember, guys, I was 20 years single when I was at Oklahoma, a little different deal. And then I'm married today. But I was over. And I run into a bunch of Arkansas guys. I said, what in the world are y'all doing there? And they said, what are you doing over here, Wimbledon? I said, no, I'm not over in Wimbledon. I'm just over here with a couple, and seeing the sights and enjoying ourselves. He says, well, Tyson is having a party up at his place in Essex, up at Whittam. He says, Tyson wants you to come up. I said, well,
this is the chicken guy.
The chicken king.
Yeah.
No, Don
right.
Tyson, he's passed
right.
away. He's gone. So what happens is I go up, get on some train, and we ride up to Whittam, up in Essex. We get off. It's north of London, and we go to his big mansion and all, and Hawkins and the Hawks are playing, and that would have been a really trick, but not even Tyson could pull that off. But Ronnie Hawkins was there, and he was playing before me for John Tyson's birthday. It was in July. So what happens is that we're sitting there at breakfast, and Ronnie Hawkins says to me, we started talking about Levon. He said, you know, Levon, he said, boy, he's a talented guy. I've known him all my life. We played together, played a lot of gigs, and he said, I'm going to tell you something about him. That guy has smoked so much dope. He smoked so much dope, he can tell you how much rainfall when it was cut. And of course, we all just sat there laughing. Then Leon walks in, and sure enough, I said, Leon, is that true? And about that, he said, pulled something out of his pocket. He smelled it, and he says, about 3 weeks ago, about 2 inches. Oh, I said, these guys are crazy, all these rock and rollers, you know. But those things happen. But
yeah.
I wasn't there. Someone told me about it.
Yeah.
So is the wine thing keeping you pretty busy these days? Or
you know,
I mean, it's almost like having a job.
It's nearly like having a job. I'm out. The thing about it shocks people. I get unsolicited phone calls, and people say, God, it's good. You know, that's what they
say. Shocked that it's any
yeah,
good.
That's right. They think it's a celebrity wine just because I put my name on it, Corby. They think, oh, what happens is that they buy a one bottle, maybe to have me sign it, and then all of a sudden think they're not going to drink it. They drink it and realize, hey, it's pretty good.
And they're surprised by that?
Well, a lot of people think that I wasn't going to do anything. So it's going to be like our football teams we put on the field. They're a pretty good football team, so we'll put a pretty good product out there. And I think that we have. And it's called Switzer Family Vineyards, 96% Napa Valley wine juice. And so it's pretty good stuff. Cabernet Sauvignon.
So, all right, we got the news yesterday that SMU is going to be hiring a basketball coach, and that guy's name is Larry Brown, who has been coaching forever. He's right around your age, and he wants to get back in the college game. And we referenced you thinking that it's essentially would be the same thing as you going back over to TCU or SMU, somewhere like that, and starting all over again. Can you imagine? And it's a little different recruiting basketball than football because you're dealing with 12 kids instead of 100 kids.
Right.
But at the same time, can you imagine right now, you know, living the good life that you do, getting back into that racket full time?
Well, let me tell you, when you only made $24,000 a year and Stoops making $5 million, you're damn right I can imagine that.
What the hell are you talking about, Corby? Hey,
what? All right, so money talks.
A lot of people rob banks for less than that.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so $24,000 is what you started at?
We won 38 in a row at Oklahoma, and I was making $24,000 a year. And if we went to a bowl game, I got an extra month's salary. That's what it was like in those days, and that's the truth.
And who was the highest paid coach back then, do you know?
I don't know, but coaches, see, coaches only got paid that. You had to have your TV contracts. We had to go out and produce our own radio shows, TV con. Hell, I did 5 TV shows to make the job worth $1 million back then.
Yeah.
When we played at home, I'd do what they call a fifth quarter show. I'd do it up outside my office after the ball game, after I dealt with the press. I'd run upstairs and sit down and do a 30-minute show and have a couple of the players on the show and all. And we got it sold, sponsors and all. But I tell you,
that was your own deal. You sold.
I did. I had to do my own.
You were kidding me.
Every coach did. The athletic department. That's why they can go out and offer these guys $4 or $5 million. The athletic department underwrites it. They get the money. The coach doesn't have to produce his own show. He doesn't have to go get his own sponsors.
Yeah. Now all you got to do is show up.
Show up. Show up. That's when that happened. That's when football players on the field don't win football games anymore. It's $5 million coaches do.
God. All right, so...
Am I right?
Yeah, totally.
It's not the players winning anymore. You get you a $5 million coach, and the players quit winning the games, and it's the coach winning the games, right?
So you got a nice place. I've seen your place up there in Norman, over there right by the campus, right by the football field and everything. And also in Norman is the... You're speaking of England and castles right. And everything. Stoops has got a piece of land out there and a house that I don't think it's completed yet.
It won't move. I talked to him yesterday. He said to be in June.
Beyond obnoxious. I mean, I've seen an aerial shot of it. It's the biggest damn thing. It's like Mike Tyson's house back in 1995 or something, you know?
Yeah, it's a beautiful home.
Well, yeah, it is.
It's a gorgeous home. It sits on 20 acres, and he's got a lake in front of it. It sits out north and west of you can see it off I-35 if you know what you're looking for. But, it's taking quite a while. Build something that big, 20,000 square feet, it's going to take a while. So,
what is he doing? Well, at least he's going to be there for a while.
He likes to watch television. He likes to move around. He's got that new TV, the DirecTV where you switch channels and go in and catch up with the next room.
Yeah.
He's doing those commercials.
You think he's got that Longhorn network there?
Yeah, I think so. They're doing the Sooner Network. How about that? They're going to do a Sooner Network.
A little smaller version, though, isn't it?
Well, it probably is. You know.
Yeah.
Like everything in Texas is bigger. You know that, Corby. I admit that. That's why I spent so much time down there recruiting your players. Everything is bigger and better.
Yeah, things change when you cross the red.
You bet. You bet.
All right, so what was a show that that you were on? It was a couple of years ago, the Holly Hunter show that you made a guest appearance on.
Oh, well, that was what was that show? Holly. We all think of that. What is it? It was a couple of years. What was it?
And you had a pick.
Had the angel and the angel and what's it?
It was angel something.
Yeah, and the wings, the guy with the damn wings. What the hell? Leon with his wings. And
Saving Grace.
Yeah, Saving Grace.
Oh, isn't it amazing knowledge? The fountain of knowledge over here.
He's got Google stock.
But that was not me. Google stock comes in.
So you were on that TV show, and do you realize that last night you were mentioned on one of the late night talk shows?
Well, let me tell you, I remember 1995, I made David Letterman's top 10. That was number one. No, aren't cowboys supposed to carry guns?
Well, there was a guest on one of the late night talk shows.
I missed that.
Okay? And it's a guy that you recruited that now is a big star on TV. So I want to play that for you. We'll play that for you next.
This is Bosworth.
No, it ain't Bosworth. We'll see if you remember this moment next.
All right, more with the coach coming up from out here at Specs. All right, we have a little bit more time with Barry Switzer out here today at Specs, and we do appreciate you offering us a little bit more time here. We got something we want you to listen to.
Okay.
Because your name came up on late night TV last night.
Okay.
And the speaker is a guy who says that you recruited him.
Yeah. So we'll play the audio. We'll see if you remember this moment and if it's true. Because I love hearing stories like this, but I always wonder if they're true. It sounds very true.
I got a pretty good guess who it might be.
Okay. This is on Jimmy Kimmel's show last night.
Your quarterback?
What was it like being recruited? Like, these coaches, they come to you or do you go to them? How does that work?
Probably like Dancing with the Stars, I'd bet. It's you know what? You get trips, you know, and they take you there and they show you and they tell you, go to school here. And I got recruited by a number of different schools. Almost went to Oklahoma. That was a school that was
very... Who was coach there at that time?
At the time, Chuck Fairbanks, but they what I remember about the trip, Jack Mildren was a quarterback I admired who played for Oklahoma. He was my host, and then they put me in a room very quickly with Barry Switzer, who at the time was the offensive coordinator.
Oh, wow.
And he had a big cigar he lit up, and he kind of sat back and looked at me, and he just leaned across the desk. He said, let me tell you something. You come to Oklahoma next year, we're going to win the national championship. Let me tell you something else. You don't come to Oklahoma next year, we're still going to win the national championship.
So he made you feel very special.
You remember that?
Yeah, you bet. That's Tom Harmon's boy. He won the Heisman in Michigan.
That is.
Yeah, Mark was a good kid. He's a great quarterback. He really was. He went to UCLA, started for Pepper Rogers, and he led them to the championship, Rose Bowl. He won, beat Nebraska in the opening game of the season. They ran the wishbone, and they are the only team other than Oklahoma and Nebraska in that period of time that ever rushed average 400 games a yard rushing per game for 11 games per season in 1972.
And didn't they kind of barnstorm people a little bit because not a lot of people thought UCLA would come out and run the wishbone, and then they did with him, and that's what happened to Nebraska in that first game.
That's right. They had no idea what was going to happen to him, and Nebraska came out. Great football team. Nebraska just came off a national championship with the 71, Johnny Rogers and that group, Taggy and Kenny, Rich Glover. Had great football team and dominant team and beat Alabama in the Orange Bowl the year before. We had played them in a close game the year before, and we beat Auburn in the Sugar Bowl. So, really, we were losing Mildren, and we thought Harmon was the best junior college quarterback out there. And, you know, he's a great kid, good-looking kid, very talented actor, and his dad was a great player and doing radio at that time. He did a lot of Tom was doing a lot of radio. I don't know what network at that time, but he would come to Norman, and he would come to my home, and we'd have dinner, drinks together, and he told me about his son. Damn if I didn't end up trying to recruit his son to get him, and he would have been my starting quarterback at Oklahoma in 72.
But then, so Mildren had another year, and then you went...
Mildren graduated in 71. So I had an open spot in 72. I did not have... Dave Robinson was my quarterback, but he was a drop back. He wasn't an option quarterback, but we had him surrounded by great talent. He had the Greg Pruitts, the Joe Wileys, the Roy Bells. Had outstanding players around him.
And then you got
Steve Davis. We won 11-1 that year and ended up 3 in the country, I believe. Only lost one game and defeated Penn State in the Orange Bowl. And that's when Lacewell was really scared. I wondered why Lacewell was so nervous when we went down to play in the Sugar Bowl, because I found out later, you know, Sandusky was coaching that team, and he found out Lacewell knew then he liked little boys. Isn't that terrible? We tell our coaches that we put that on Lacewell the other day.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Lacewell, of course, he's up to visit a bunch of the coaches were all in town. We got together, and Rex Norris brought that line out on him. I'm just repeating it, but I thought it was funny. We wondered why Lacewell was so nervous.
So that was pretty well known even back then?
No, guys. It's just because Lacewell's a little guy. Little boy.
That's right. Lace was only about 5'6".
Yeah, I know it.
I was like, he's 13 back then, probably.
He looked like he's...
Oh, God, that's great. All right, there's two things I want to talk to you about since we last saw you. One is awful news, and I imagine you were pretty shocked when you got the news that Coach Joe passed away.
Yeah, Joe Avezzano was in Italy, I understand, and I had no idea he was over there. Was he on a?
He was coaching like a team, yeah. There was like some sort of European league. It wasn't really? Like the NFL Europe because that thing disbanded. But it's something akin to that.
Joe was a great guy. You know, I've known Joe since he was assistant coach at Iowa back in the '60s. Iowa State with Johnny Majors and that crew. They were all together. Jackie Sherrill, all those guys, Lacewell, Jimmy Johnson. They all coached for Johnny at Iowa State. And then they Jimmy and Lacewell and I were assistant coaches for Chuck at Oklahoma and. We played, thank Avizano got a head job at Oregon State.
Yeah.
He came to Norman, brought a team to Norman. One day we hung half a hundred on. I talked to him before the game, said, what's the score going to be? I said, north of 40 or 50. I promised you don't have any players, Joe. He laughed. He said, that's damn truth. You know,
are you the one that broke the story to me that he used to wear a cape around
town?
Oh,
yeah. He looked like Dracula. You can see him. He turned up the collar and had that long cape.
A cape.
Joe had a great he always wanted to be a country western singer. You know, he would give up coaching. Promise you, if he had a voice, he wanted to go to Nashville. He had so much fun. We'd play home games here, and I lived two doors down from where I lived over River Chase. What can I think of his name? Great country western singer.
Pride?
Charlie Pride's sister. Charlie Pride's sister lived two doors down. It sounds like a song, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Dolly wasn't there, but Charlie was there. We had Hank Thompson, Larry McFadden, and a bunch of guys from Nashville would come over the house with pick and sing. Well, Joe, I'd always invite Joe over because he would always want to be around that kind of crowd. So he would have to sing. He'd have to do a set or two with them. And
with that voice.
Oh, yeah. We always crack up and video that. Still got it on video. It's good stuff.
All right, so there's two college schools that everybody associates you with, obviously Oklahoma and then Arkansas, where you went to school. What do you make of all this crap that's going on there with Petrino and all that?
They call me, obviously, national media radio shows all call. Man, I wasn't going to get involved in it. The only thing I want to know, I asked them a question, what was he riding? You know, I had four Harleys. I want to know if he's a Harley guy. You know, and the only other comment I've had about it is after I read the paper, and I read all what has been said and written, and I looked at Jessica Dorrell's stats all there and her profile, and it said that she was number 7 in the all-time Arkansas kill list as a volleyball player. Well, I said, she went to number 1 now. I promise you, you kill somebody. Makes $21 million a year. She ought to go to the top of the list.
Oh, my God. So where are they headed right now? What direction will they go
I wish it had Garrett McGee had been there. He would probably be the head coach now. He took the University of Alabama Birmingham job.
Garrett wasn't there when you were there, was
no,
he?
No, he played for John. But Garrett is an excellent football coach. Excellent. He's well organized. He does a great job of coaching quarterbacks. He did a great job with that bunch. And I think without a doubt he would have been named head coach had he not taken the Birmingham, Alabama job. Now, how does he get out of that job? I'm thinking if Mike Leach had been sitting out there, Mike Leach probably had the Arkansas job, but he took the Washington State job. It's all a matter of timing and all, but who's going to get the job? I don't know. I don't know if those guys can get out of where they are.
Are coaching circles like they used to be where it just seems like that you guys, everybody knew everybody from everywhere, you know, especially the southern schools?
Fraternity. Yeah, it's a small fraternity. Of course, smaller now than it was then, because back I used to have 15 coaches. NCAA restricts the number, they limit what you can have, and they probably only have 7 and go on the road recruiting. You're probably only 8 on the staff now, including football operations, recruiter, and all that. So it's a little tighter now, but... No, it's a small fraternity. Everybody knew everybody. If you lost someone, you already had an idea of who's on your short list, who you would recall and replace. You know, you knew who fits your personality, your coaches, and who are good coaches.
You think we're looking pretty good with Mike Stoops coming back?
Mike is an excellent football coach. Hope he's got good players to coach. And coaching's, you know, very, very important variable. You know, I look at, and people don't believe that sometimes. They think it's always the players on the football field. The best coaching job done in the United States last year, and I'm on the Broyles Award to select the best assistant coach who wins the assistant coach award of the year from the Frank Broyles Award. I voted for the guy at Michigan because Michigan was 107. We all know they got a great quarterback up there, and they're pretty explosive offense. They were 107th in the nation, terrible 2 years ago. They brought that Greg Mattson in. They went to 7th in the country with the same players. You know, they gave it to John Chavis at LSU. Hell, they could give it to him every year now, the talent he's got to coach every year. Mm-hmm. But this guy goes in, takes over a squad. The same players were 107th last year in college football. This year they go number 7 in the country in defense. And Michigan is a very competitive football team because of that. That's a guy that should have been assistant coach of the year.
So tonight you're headed where for more wine stuff?
I'm going to get this. The Lincoln's Taste Room and Bottle Bar. I'm going to go down there and spend a couple hours. I remember meeting Dee and when she was partners with Del Frisco, the guy that ran
right.
Years and years ago. And she was in when I was coaching the Cowboys. We hung out at Sullivan's, that was, I'll never forget being in Sullivan's tonight, and his big, long, strong arms wrap around me, and that voice I recognize, he pulls me up tight. And it was that night that they found a gun in my bag at DFW, and Lacel made me go out with him anyway, so I'm in the bar, and these big black arms wrap around me, and all of a sudden this voice whispers in my ear, and he says, "Coach, we've always known you're a player's coach, but by God, you proved it to us today."
Who was it?
Earl Campbell. I said, "Earl, at least it wasn't lose you like you bastards carry around." I said, "It was a snub-nosed 38.
Oh, my God. Did you go to jail that day?
They took me out on that. You know, they do have a jail out there in the middle of the airport. I went out there, and we were laughing. The police and I were going out there, and they were just. I had to sign some papers. I walked there and signed some papers, and I made the next flight 30 minutes later to Austin. But we went into jail, and these guys were behind bars, and they were rolling this payphone around to all these cells. And a couple of guys leaned up the bar, and they saw me, and they said, "Coach, what the hell are you doing in there?" I said, "Shut up. I'm here to break you out." Be quiet. Yeah, they all just die laughing. Well, the only thing to do is laugh about it, have fun with it.
Did you have to sign any autographs or take any pictures?
I wasn't selling wine. Maybe we had.
Well, everybody get a good look at this ring as you're having Coach sign bottles of wine.
One of these in a while.
That's it. That's the last one we got around here.
Well, that's was Jimmy and Jerry put together a great team. I came in and was fortunate to always say it. And, hey, good head, good players, good coaches. I inherited a great staff. At least I didn't screw it up like a lot of you bastards thought I would.
Don't look at me when you say that.
I know. Hey, look. Hey, you and I are friends today. But there was a time we weren't.
Yeah.
Mike Reimer and that techhead. I love you guys. Hey, it's fun to be with you. Corby, Mike, thank you for letting me
Barry,
come down.
Oh, yeah, Coach.
Anytime, man.
Yep. We'll do it again sometime.
All right. Great Barry Switzer, everybody.
All right. Take care.